I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, former Olympic weightlifter Cheryl Hayworth tells us what it means to be strong. But first, the Laser, the full-length polyurethane bodysuit that Michael Phelps wore for 7 of his 8 gold medal-winning performances in Beijing, is no more. It's been banned. And as 98% of the swimmers winning medals and setting records at the 2008 Olympic Games were wearing the Laser, one might expect that times will be slower and fewer swimming records will be set at this summer's Games. And one might be wrong. Sharon Begley is the senior health and science correspondent at Reuters, and she joins me now from New York. Sharon, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you so much, Bill.
In 2009, FINA, Swimming's International Federation, declared that swimsuits must be air permeable. They could not cover more than navel to kneecap for men and shoulder to kneecap for women, and they could not include a zipper. Why are swimsuits that break those rules so fast?
Yeah, they're just such killjoys, aren't they? The suits that they banned have the property, or had the property, of being virtually impermeable to water. So that basically meant that they held air inside. So if you are wearing a garment in the water and it holds air, guess what? You'll be more buoyant. Being in the air, i.e. enjoying that buoyancy, presents much less drag to you than if you try to swim in water. So the more buoyant the swimmers were, the less they had to push through, essentially. And that, of course, translated into greater speed.
Before the invention of the Laser, Speedo was producing a suit based on the skin of sharks. But I understand that some scientists at Harvard have proved that design to be less efficient than was advertised.
Well, they did. The researchers took the fabric that Speedo had come up with, and as you just said, Bill, it was modeled on shark skin, which is characterized by little denticles. You can think of them as little teeth. They thought that they worked by essentially reducing drag and increasing thrust, which is the formula for going faster in water. But despite all of the great hype, when the Harvard researchers dragged the fabric through the water, they dragged it through the regular way, and then, interestingly enough, they turned it inside out, and then they did other fabrics for comparison. It turned out that the denticle fabric was not faster. It did not have less drag, and in a very weird result, in fact, it worked better inside out, which I think if anyone had told the swimmers a few years ago would have startled many of them, and it did startle Speedo. But yes, Speedo, did not take this as a setback, but set its designers to coming up with something for 2012, and we'll see next week and the week after whether they have.
So what did those designers come up with?
Well, the mantra this time around has been tiny differences. In other words, they were not looking for a single big hit to reduce drag by, 20% or something. That's not in the cards. Instead, Speedo in particular, which, to be perfectly fair, has led the way in this, looked at three components: the cap, the goggles, and the suit itself. So the suit, they basically decided that the way to speed was to make the swimmer's body more like a barracuda, which meant as streamlined as possible. So the suits, they basically squashed the swimmer's bodies more certain parts than others, and I'll leave that to you and your listeners' imaginations. But again, the idea is we're going for barracuda here. Interestingly, when you squash the bodies like that, you increase the density of the oxygen-carrying red blood cells, which, when the Speedo guys told me that, I thought, wow, cool, that's like legal doping, right? Because there are some banned drugs that will do that.
Meanwhile, the other bit of new swimming technology is the pool itself. The competition pool at London's Aquatic Center has been described as one of the most technologically advanced pools ever built. I would hope so at the Olympics, but how so?
Yeah, that was from the National Science Foundation. The idea here is something called fast water. And to achieve fast water, you want as few waves on the surface of the pool as possible, and you also want fewer currents bouncing off the bottom of the pool. Turbulence is the enemy of speed. So the competition pools in London are 3 meters, about 10 feet deep, so that any waves will tend to dissipate before they get back up to where the swimmer is. In addition, the lane dividers, they have these spinning discs, so any wave that hits the disc, and a wave, of course, is just liquid energy, the energy of that wave will go into spinning the disc. If it goes into spinning the disc, the energy doesn't last to propagate into the next lane. So again, you've reduced surface waves that way. And then there are a few other things. And again, you know, this is all great on paper, but we'll see, you know, how it translates into actual times.
All right. I hate to ask a scientist for predictions, but what's the likelihood that we see any swimming world records broken at these London Games?
Well, at the risk of being a pessimist, I'm going to go with a researcher at Indiana University who has run all the numbers. His name is Joel Stager. And he says, looking at the times for the trials were less than impressive. He thinks it is very unlikely that we will see world or Olympic records, which is not to say the events will not be, you know, totally cool and exciting and fun to watch and to cheer on. But I don't think we're going to see those magic numbers go up on the board.
Sharon Begley writes about health and science for Reuters. Sharon, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Bill.
If I had a shark suit, this is what I do. I tie the dorsal fin underneath my chin and dive into the pool. I'd smile a sharky smile you wouldn't want to miss when I'm giving everyone a great big sharky kiss.